This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is 98.7 ESPN, a Good Karma Brands radio station, WEPN-FM, New York.
It's been a lot of hockey today with the Rangers getting Patrick Kane. The Islanders, Don, just got Pierre Engvall from Maple Leafs in exchange for a third-round pick in the 24 NHL draft. What's he about? Is that a good pickup?
That's a nice that could be a – because what happened with the shuffling around of their lines, they kind of lost the identity of that identity line. Engvall can play a couple of different, you know, bottom, third, fourth line. I like him a lot. He's definitely involved with Toronto. Toronto's trying to get some cap space, I think, for something else. But I like him as a player. He'll be a nice playoff addition for them. It looks like they've solidified a playoff spot. I like him as a, like I said, third, fourth line guy. That's a nice acquisition to just make them a little bit more well-rounded for the postseason.
All right, so you've got Kane going to the Rangers. That broke at about 3 o'clock. Now you've got this deal for the Islanders. Timo Meier was acquired by the Devils the other day. Yesterday, the Knicks with a big win over the Celtics to begin a four-game stretch over 7 days. That will tell us a lot of how far they really have come. One more game against the Celtics, tomorrow against the Nets, and then you have a game against the Heat. And the Heat won a big game yesterday against the Sixers. So they're hot on the tails of the Knicks as well. So Knicks played really well. They didn't play, nobody played great, except for Quickly. But none of the stars played great, and they still got it done against a team with the best record in the NBA. So that's an impressive win for the Knicks.
But Randall wasn't great, but he was good down the stretch.
Yep.
You know, and Peter referred to that call we had yesterday, killing him for, you know, giving the finger to the fans. And one of the other things he accentuated was he's not a big-time player late. And I thought it was ironic that on that very day he said that, he didn't have a great game but still played well, I thought, in the fourth quarter. They look like a legit playoff team. They look like a team that belongs. Now, are they a championship-caliber team? No, but you're starting to see the signs of a team that could be attractive to free agents, that they're going to play a lot of nationally televised games, have a chance to make it to the second round, maybe put a scare into somebody. I mean, who thought the Hawks were going to go to the conference final 2 years ago? And they did. They didn't follow it up. But still, maybe they can do that.
Now, we talked about the combine going on right now in Indianapolis. Well, both Joe Douglas and Joe Shane spoke with the media. And also it broke that Douglas is going to meet with Derek Carr again while he's at the combine. And Joe Douglas was asked about the Carr visit.
Obviously, you guys have seen reports about us bringing Derek Carr in about a week and a half ago. I can tell you that was a fantastic visit. We really enjoyed spending time with him. Obviously, he's the only quarterback that I can really shed any light on for you guys, since he's the only quarterback that's a free agent. But you know, I can say that he left a strong impression with everybody. And so, obviously, we're going to be exploring the veteran quarterback market this offseason, and we're going to look at every available option. We feel like when it's time to make the right decision, when everyone goes through their process, we're going to make the best decision for the Jets.
Isn't Garoppolo a free agent?
Yeah, I was just going to look up. By him saying that, it almost seems like it's going to be Rodgers or Carr. They're not even looking at anybody else.
Now, Joe was asked, do you prefer to get a veteran quarterback via trade or free agency?
We look through every scenario. Those are things we're weighing, acquiring a player with no compensation in terms of trade, draft picks or players versus someone that may require that. So we're looking at every option, and that will play a part in the decision.
Yeah. And finally, he was – go ahead, Don, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say Carr, Wentz, Brady, Mariota, Mayfield, Darnold, Garoppolo, Bridgewater, Jones. I mean, there's a lot of free agent quarterbacks. So for him to say it the way he did, it sounds like it's Carr or Rodgers or bust. They're not looking at anybody else.
Let's talk about Zach Wilson. Here's Joe Douglas on the quarterback.
I know in talking with Nathaniel and Todd and our staff, they're so excited to get with Zach and start working. I know they've had some positive discussions. But, again, our stance on Zach hasn't changed. You know, we feel like Zach has a very high ceiling. Obviously, the first 2 years haven't played out the way that anybody's hoped. But we still feel like there's a very high ceiling with Zach. And in my time in the league, I've found that when players love this game and when players work their tails off, they usually hit their ceiling. And so feel like Zach has those, definitely has those traits. So still feel strongly that Zach's going to be able to hit his
All right. Thanks, bud.
Can I call their bluff, Peter?
Please. And by the way,
if you think he's got such
a
high ceiling and he's got such a great rapport with Nathaniel Hackett, make him a quarterback. Go into next season with him as a quarterback. Why are you telling us this, Joe? It's nonsense. He's got such a high ceiling. But you're going to move heaven and earth and try to acquire a guy who's making $60 million this upcoming season. So how really good is Zach Wilson? How really good do you think he is?
I love Joe. You guys know that. He's my favorite probably executive that we've talked to from like a regular conversation standpoint. Really enjoy Cashman also, but like Joe, he's just got a cool way about him. I'm sorry, man. This is nonsense. Zach Wilson's not playing here again. I don't understand what the end game is. I do not believe that you could believe that much in the future of a quarterback and after year two have him in the place that he's in right now.
But they are only talking him up because I think they're going to move him.
But how could they move him?
But, I mean, do they think that the other teams in the NFL are morons, that if they talk him up?
No, but it's talking him up for other organizations to think, hey, maybe they really do want to keep him. If I want to get Zach Wilson, I might have to give up something for him rather than saying, listen, Zach's not going anywhere. We're going to trade him. That takes some leverage away. You at least want the threat of, hey, we could still keep him. So I don't know what they can get for him, third, fourth round pick, but do you really think you're going to get anything if you go on record saying you think he's a bum and you're looking to deal him away? There goes all your leverage. Talk him up. It doesn't mean anything. Nobody believes it, but at least the one thing you want to try to convince other teams is that you might decide to keep him, which isn't out of the realm of possibility.
Well, you just said nobody believes it, so why sell people?
No. Nobody believes that you love him as much as you say, but maybe you'll get them to believe that they'll keep him, which is realistic. It's realistic they'll keep Zach Wilson.
Well, I mean, if he comes on with us at some point before they make a decision on a veteran quarterback and he gives that same line of malarkey, I'm going, then why don't you go with him as a quarterback if he's so great? What's he going to say then?
Well, he's going to say that we think we could do better.
But then he's not that great. This is another pick in the draft.
But even if he was telling the truth and they believe that Zach Wilson does have a future, you can't tell me that Rodgers and Carr wouldn't be better at more, would be way better in the immediate future than Wilson would be. Like, both could be true. I think Wilson's got a future here. We want to keep him. We want to cultivate him to eventually be our starting quarterback. But in the immediate future, we think we can do a lot better with the roster that we have.
Now let's hear from Joe Schoen. So, Joe, the Giants GM, was asked about Daniel Jones' contract talks.
We've been in constant contact with his agents. We had productive conversations yesterday. We have some more scheduled today. So we'll continue to communicate with them. Some of it, was in person and then over the phone. And then yesterday was in person and it'll be in person again today. So, yeah, we'll continue to hammer out, try to get closer to getting something done, hopefully.
Now, he was asked about the fact that Jones has changed agencies.
That was something personal that Daniel wanted to do. Again, I didn't really get into it, but we had never had any conversations with CAA. We didn't. They have no idea what value we thought. I have no idea what they would ask. Like, that was totally separate. We have a great relationship with CAA, great relationship with Athletes First. We had just never even embarked on any type of negotiations, numbers, anything. That was just something, Daniel decided to do on his own. And then once, there was a separation, then, we started talking with Athletes First, once that had been done.
All right, so he didn't get rid of CAA because they couldn't get him what he wanted. He just decided to change agencies. Now, they seem like they don't want to give him $40 million a year. They supposedly have made an offer which would come out to $38 million, but there's a possibility that they're just going to franchise him. So Schoen was asked, does tagging him with the franchise hurt the team?
It does. Yeah, it does. That's something everybody realizes. I don't think the franchise, if you have to franchise Daniel, I don't think that's best for the organization. I don't believe it's best for Daniel, especially as we try to build the team around him and, questions about receiver and, other positions on the other side of the ball where we may need depth. So it does hurt you a little bit in terms of, the team building process. But, we're prepared if that's a scenario that we're faced with, and, we have a plan B and we'll try to execute that best we can.
He also said in Indy today, guys, he said Daniel Jones is the quarterback next year. So if Daniel's going to play hardball here, you know what he's going to get? He's going to hurt the team because all that money is going to be up against the cap. They can't amortize it out. And he's going to be playing for a lot less money than they're offering.
Right.
So, when does somebody blink in this high-stakes game of chicken?
It's going to have to be him.
What a weird relationship that is, right?
How could you guys, how could you take a $6 million haircut a year? Actually, more than that, because it would be a $32 million cap hit for the franchise tag. He'd pocket $29 million. So it's a $9 million haircut to go show what you can do to earn more money. How much more money are you going to earn? What kind of season would he have, guys? Is there any world, as big a Giant fan as I am, and I'm a big fan of Shane and Dable, that the Giants are going to elevate themselves and their quarterback to a point where he's going to be able to parlay that into a $50 million a year contract? No, he's probably back to what he's asking for now. Take the 38, have that security. God forbid if you get hurt. God forbid if you don't have the season that you had last year. I get betting on yourself, but not in football. I'm sorry. There's too many things beyond your control. Way too many things beyond your control where you could afford to bet on yourself. I don't care what your confidence level is.
Now, there's still the deal with Saquon, and Shane was asked, have you closed the gap with your running back?
We haven't totally bridged it. We're a little bit closer. There's still a gap, or, you know, we'd have him done. So, yeah, we'll still work through that. And, again, we're working with Roc Nation and Kim, his agent, and have a great relationship with her, and I have had for a long time. So we've had really good communication, and she does a great job, and, you know, we'll see if we can bridge the gap here at some point.
Now, Shane was also asked, do you take off-the-field qualities into account with the Saquon Barkley?
No, I mean, I think in the negotiations, you take all that into account or you wouldn't approach the player on a contract extension. So, yeah, I mean, Walter Payton, Man of the Year, I love that about him, but you also got to look at production, durability, games played, production versus other comps throughout the league, and that's usually where they land from a financial standpoint, and you got to draw a line in the sand, like we're not going any further, and if it goes past this, all right, let's shift to plan B, and again, hopefully we don't get to that, but, you know, we went through all those plans.
So, from what I got from that, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, him being a nice guy means nothing. Doesn't mean anything. It might mean something to Mara, but Shane's putting together a team, and he's going to put a valuation on the player, and he's not going to give him more because he's a great guy.
Don't you like that, though?
I do.
Like, if you're negotiating in a salary cap era, you can't let your heart get in the way. Kind of guy you are, to me, is a heart decision, not a head decision. Like, yeah, it's nice to have choir boys. It's nice to have guys that won the Walter Payton Award.
Sure.
But how does that manifest itself in a cap sport where if he doesn't perform, he gets hurt? How that's going to help you go out there and win? So it's a nice thing. I think it's a bonus. It's a plus. But it can't be the driving force behind giving a guy a contract.
Now, another GM, not the Jets or the Giants GM, who is very important to what the Jets might do, Brian Gutekunst, the GM of the Packers, he was asked if he has spoken to Aaron Rodgers.
Not yet. No, I mean, we've, you know, changed some texts and things like that, but we haven't had a chance to speak yet.
All right, so he was also asked his opinion on Rodgers.
Our feelings haven't changed about Aaron, but we need to have some of those conversations about our team, where it's going, where he's at, you know, before we go forward.
You know, I was on Greeny today, and he was joyous about the fact that they haven't spoken. He said that means that he's gone. He said he had spoken to a lot of people in Arizona. He was out there for the NBA during the Super Bowl, and there were people that legitimately told him, you don't know, Rodgers could walk away from the money. But Greeny said that by the fact that he's come out of the hole and they still have not had any contact tells you he's leaving the Packers. You guys read it that way?
Not necessarily.
No.
Not only because Rodgers is Rodgers, I wouldn't read into it that much, unfortunately. Sorry,
yeah, I'm the same way.
Now, when we say walk away from the money, what does that mean? Like, would he go? What would he get from New York?
No, walk away from money and retire.
Because
his money is guaranteed.
He's getting the money no matter what.
He's going to get it.
So if he ends up going to The Jets just have to take on the $50 million.
They have to pay him $59.4 million.
Yeah, I've said and you've said, there ain't no way he's walking away from the money, period. There's no way.
Now, I want to get back to Saquon for a second, Michael.
Okay.
So it sounds like they've bridged the gap, but it's still significant. So if the original offer is 12.5, I have to assume Barkley wants the 16 a year that Christian McCaffrey's getting. Is that a fair assumption?
I would think so. That's certainly been the rumor.
Who's better?
I think McCaffrey's better.
And the team that gave McCaffrey the $16 million a year ended up trading him. Right, so I don't know if you're Saquon. Can you really ask for 16?
Can Can I also throw something out here? Do we know that McCaffrey's better? I mean, he's literally he's with an offensive mastermind who knows exactly how to use him.
Well, but
there was before he was. He yeah, was before.
Great. Well, no, there was a gap there. There was a gap there a little bit between when things were amazing in Carolina and when he left for San Francisco, where he really was just a guy who seemed to be getting injured repeatedly didn't look like the same dude anymore.
Well,
he's been revitalized in San Francisco.
Well, yeah, but it was still a small sample size, right? 10 starts, 11 appearances, 746 yards on the ground, 464 in the air.
They're
so
sort of
productive. But, you know, you're talking about a guy in his third year, Peter, had almost 1,400 yards rushing, another 1,000 receiving. Like, he was, and that was in Carolina, all right? So, whatever, if you want to say that he deserves McCaffrey money. Well, the team that gave it to him ended up trading him away. Like, it doesn't age well, guys. Now San Francisco went and picked him up because they're a win-now team. I'm sure they're not thrilled with having to pay him $16 million a year going forward, especially when next year, you know, he's going to be 27 years old. Like,
and they're similar in terms of how bad the injuries have been.
But you can't go. Can you, if you're the Giants, can you really go that much over 12 and a half?
No, because they're in cap hell.
Well, they won't be.
And if they franchise Jones, they're going to be in worse cap hell.
The cap hell, they're already working on that with, you know, Galladay getting released. They're going to free up some space, and it ends up being negligible. You look at it from a position standpoint, the difference between 16 and 12 and a half. But at that position, it's pretty significant. You know, so in the grand scheme of the cap, could $3, $4 million be that big of a deal? But I just don't think you can set the precedent of giving him that much of a raise. Now, he turned it down in the middle of the season, and you can't really say, guys, after turning it down, his stats went up. Wasn't necessarily Barkley's fault because the team kind of came back down to earth a little bit. But, all right, so he comes off that. If he goes down to 14, how much more than 12 and a half can the Giants go? 13? 13 and a half?
No, from everything I've heard about Shane, he's going to give you evaluation. He's not moving. He's just not.
Well, if I'm playing this high-stakes game of chicken that you like to say, I'm going to bet that I'm not going to have to cap Jones. I'm not going to have to franchise tag Jones because I think he'll blink and he'll accept the $38 million before he allows himself to get franchised. And then I'll save the franchise tag for Barkley. And if I end up losing Barkley in the process, I guess the Giants would be okay with that.
And you know what? The best way to sign Barkley is to a one-year deal. Franchise tag him. That would be the best way. It's going to be under 16. So these guys, the leverage is curtailed by that tag. But Barkley gets better leverage if Jones gets tagged.
Yeah. But if
Jones actually signs a long-term deal, Barkley's sunk. He's going to get a one-year deal, and the Giants would be thrilled with that. With a running back, you just keep giving him one-year deals rather than risk it and giving him a multi-year deal.
Unless Barkley's agent just knows, because he's a free agent, that if he becomes free, he'll get more than 12 and a half someplace else. I don't know if he would. I wouldn't think so. But maybe he feels like I would get more someplace else. Why would you mess then? Because you're going to get franchised for a lot less than what you're asking for.
Right.
So he must think that when I become a free agent, somebody will give me more than what the Giants offered.
Well, that's what an agent does. They have to do their due diligence, so they must know something. But let's go to Anthony in Toms River. Anthony.
How you doing, guys? This is Anthony from Toms River. Happy belated birthday. And I just had two questions for you.
All right.
I'm an Indianapolis Colts fan, and over the past few years, we bounced through running backs like nobody's business. And truth be told, if you look at what they've had,
Anthony, we got to let you go.
But I will say this: it's unfortunate we lost you. But also, I had no interest in hearing what you were going to say.
Wow.
Why? Why did you say that?
Sorry, just when he said Indianapolis Colts, I glazed over. I didn't know they were actually Colts fans.
Well, unless he was saying that he would give a lot of money to Barkley, or he's hearing that they would do that, because I guess that could be a destination. I don't know if they would do that.
Let's go to Heather in Springfield.
Hi.
Heather.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm so excited. I'm a longtime listener. I'm a first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
I just wanted to I'm sorry. I just wanted to speak about Michael's flight.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know this, but United does have an option called Basic Economy. So it's the lowest price fare.
Okay.
You can bring a carry-on, but you can't put it in the overhead bin. You can only fit like a backpack underneath your seat.
See?
What are they doing to people? Really? What are they doing?
And then also, you can't pick your seat. So it's only good if you basically fly alone. So my parents live in Florida, so sometimes if I go down for a quick weekend, I'm able to just pack a little bag and then I leave stuff there. So I think that's maybe what happened. And then if I could just make one more quick comment. Mm-hmm. Peter, I just wanted to tell you, you're the best.
Aww.
So I met you. I met you a couple weeks ago at the Jets-Dolphins game at MetLife Stadium. And seriously, you were so nice and you were so down to earth. And I was so impressed.
Aww. Interesting.
Just wanted to say that.
Now, Peter never left my side that entire game. So we obviously met and I left no impression.
Well, Don, I don't think I got a chance to speak to you. I think somebody grabbed you and you walked away, so I didn't want to, like...
Well, I'm sorry. You know. That's my bad. That's awful.
Well, Don is, you know, he claims to be a man of the people, but as you can see, when the real people are around, he wants to have someone come and pretend that Michael, they have something important to say so he can be ushered away.
I don't think that's what happened.
I don't like it.
I think that... you know what really happened?
What happened?
Management wanted us to go places. Peter's got this kind of... Cavorka with management. He can really do whatever he wants.
He does, and you know me,
I probably got pulled by the nose like another good employee.
Let me tell you something. If I had that Cavorka and could do whatever I want, let me tell you where I wouldn't have been that Sunday.
Well, I get that, but in relation to the rest of us. Michael, you back me up here.
Yeah, he gets away with stuff that...
Really? Let me just say this. Dave Rothenberg. Where was he? Remember him meeting people.
I'm not going to rip Dave anymore. Mike in West Caldwell, Mike.
Really? All of a sudden now.
As I'm driving around today, I hear that you're driving, Michael, a 1998 God knows what. Then I hear you're flying Super Savers on JetBlue.
Hey,
now,
keep going.
Doesn't sound like a guy that's about to retire, does it?
Of the New York friggin' Yankees.
That's right. Stay on brand.
You shouldn't have a 1998 snowblower. You should be driving the car of the future. You understand?
Call of the day.
Listen, I don't like to spend other people's money.
No.
Under normal circumstances.
But this is a normal circumstance. I should be flying a private jet. Is that what you're saying, Mike?
You should be wheels up. Wheels up every time. Come on, Mike.
You know what?
You know what?
I love it.
Mike, you know what? I want to leave my kids a lot of money, so I'm not going to spend it on myself.
But the thing is,
and also,
you're making
my 1998 car out to be a Rambler. It's not a Rambler.
No. Well, hold on.
It's not a you-know-what or whatever.
No, it's not. But, like, I think he's right. What Mike is saying there is that Michael has a certain level of responsibility being the voice of New York Yankees, Don, and he's letting the organization down.
I flew JetBlue. I didn't fly Spirit.
But you didn't have a 1998 snowblower.
Right, but wait. What is the ultimate Yankee move? Okay.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me that this isn't going to be a thing. And people laughing, oh, yeah, they make so much money. So Jordan Poyer of the Bills says that he is sick of taxes taking 50% of his money.
Okay.
So he makes $5.6 million a year. He plays in Buffalo, so he has New York taxes. $655,000. Florida, zero. So the states with no income tax, Texas, Florida, Nevada, Tennessee, and Washington. If all things are equal, guys are going to go to those states. They just are.
And especially, Michael, when you're talking about Buffalo. Now, I like Buffalo, but it's more of a town than a city. It's quaint. It's not New York. It's not Manhattan. Like, so when you're talking about New York state taxes, people think, oh, you're living in Westchester, you're living in Manhattan, you're living out on Long Island. Of course you're paying a lot of taxes. But the guy in Buffalo or Rochester, those kind of taxes. So, you know, Buffalo's a tough, if you're the Sabres or the Bills, it's probably tough to win free agents over, especially if you're like rebuilding or you're not great like the Bills are right now. It's a different story.
But when you're competing against the Floridas and the Manhattan and California, you're already at a disadvantage. And then with those kind of taxes, so you could say, oh, shut up, Manhattan. Oh, you can live in Manhattan. But how about the guy that lives in Buffalo and has got to pay pretty much the same taxes?
You're right.
That's a good point, Don.
Let's go to Joe in Rhinebeck. Joe.
Michael, how are you?
What's
good,
up?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I've been listening to your show a long time. I want to pick your brain, if that's okay.
All right.
What do you think of this Yankee team?
Wow. I think they're good. I don't think they've closed the gap all that much on Houston at this point.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Point, but I don't think this is a finished product. I still think the Yankees are the best team in the American League East, and I think the Astros are the best team in the American League.
Okay.
You agree or disagree?
Well, I do agree with that. The Yankees are the best team in the American League. I think the Blue Jays are going to be hot on their trails. I think that the Rays decreased. Baltimore is a nice, good, young, fresh team.
The Rays are going to be better than you think. They are going to be better than you think.
They always are, right?
Yeah, they will be better. I don't know what the Red Sox are going to be. I mean, they spent a lot of money, but they missed out on the one thing that they had to have, keeping Xander Bogaerts. They did end up signing to an extension Rafael Devers, but that is a mishmash of talent, and their fans are starting to get a little ticked off. Talk about Yankee fans. Well, Red Sox have won 4 championships since 2004, and their fans have had it because they just don't think that their team spends money. And that's a printing press in Boston. They own Nesson like the Yankees own Yes, and they essentially own Fenway Park. Let's go to Anthony in the car. Anthony.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. Michael, the worst career move you ever did was take that phone call just now. That was terrible. That was terrible.
It wasn't terrible. Great. It's not what you want.
I want to pick your brain, and they ask you the most broad question. That's not picking your brain.
No, it's kind of shoveling my brain.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am giddy about this Nick team. Watching that game last night, I was standing up the whole time. I could not sit down. Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, it's insane. Julius Randle, Quigley, awesome. Now, the reason why I'm calling is because my wife's birthday is today.
Oh,
and The one thing she wants is for you to give her your famous quote.
Oh, really?
Oh,
what's her name?
Nice.
Her name is Lauren.
And how long have you been married?
We have been married just over a year. We got married on New Year's Eve.
Really? Do you like her? I know you love her, but do you like her? Do you like hanging out with her?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you got to answer that a little fast.
Wow. That was not listening.
No, of course.
Is Lauren listening right now?
Yeah, she's in the other room.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Very cold stare.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
all right, so, Lauren, happy birthday, and may you live as long as you want, but never have to want as long as you live.
That's
awesome.
And in the words of Billy Joel,
life.
Scenes from an Italian restaurant.
That was such a great close to the show yesterday, Peter.
Thank you. Michael doesn't hear it.
Michael
he's not
didn't
here.
Hear it.
Yeah.
What did he do?
In the words of Billy Joel, was it Good Night Saigon?
I just said Good Night Saigon at the end of the show.
So essentially what you're doing is you're making fun of the way I close the show.
Yeah, but I can never remember Life is a Series of Hellos and Goodbyes. I guess I can't remember.
It seems like you're just doing fine now.
But I think it's funny to just name random Billy Joel songs.
I think that's going to be our thing whenever Michael doesn't close the show.
Yeah, it'll be, in the words of Billy Joel, we didn't start the fire.
Right.
So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Let's say that I do decide to go, right? The big retirement that's hanging in the air. Would you two finish the shows with Billy Joel just as an homage? Or would you just forget that I even existed over
No, I think
years?
What we do is the Billy Joel, but we throw our own lyrics in it. The guy's got an extensive catalog.
He does.
What song would I want to use? I'd have to think about it for a long time.
Be some rap song, I'm sure.
I said Billy Joel.
No, you'll do some rap song. You'll get tired of the Billy Joel thing because that would keep reminding people that I'm not there. So, yeah, I know you're
Maybe hard. My favorite Jay-Z line from when I was in high school, the only thing worse than getting old is not getting old. Good night.
And Michael says that all the time, too.
It's a good point. My grandmother used to hate birthdays, but she'd always say to my mother, she'd go, it's better than the alternative. You know?
Is she dead now?
I mean, it's a legitimate question, but really, have some couth.
I'm asking. Is she still around?
I want to get Don your opinion on whether she's still alive. What is your?
I would say no.
You would say no because you would imagine that if I had a living grandmother,
right.
You would have heard about it the show at some point. Right?
I would think if you had because your grandmother would probably be in her 90s.
She might already be over 100. Actually, probably over 100 minutes.
Oh, she definitely did.
Then we would hear about it constantly, and rightly so.
Right.
So it's a bad question to ask. I don't get it.
All of my grandparents are no longer with us.
That's sad. Well, my parents are no longer with me, so just back off.
Yeah, but you're old.
I'm not that old.
No, you could have your parents with you still. I mean, Howard still got his mother.
Well, it would have been tough for your dad, right? How old would your dad have been right now?
Let's see. He was born in 1912, so 88 and 23.
111.
Yeah.
No, that's tough. I think even in the best case...
But mom was born in 1925. She could still be here.
Wait, your dad 13 was
13 years older than my mom.
No. He died when?
1985.
Thank you, Don. 1985.
And he was how old?
Well, let's do the math. He was 73.
Oh, he was 73.
Yeah.
When he passed. That's pretty young.
That is young.
I don't like the sound of that one bit.
The Yankees have played seven doubleheaders this year, Don and Peter. That's 14 games. What do you think their record is?
6-1. Obviously, that was a misunderstanding. Not bad at math.
My favorite drop of all. It's up there.
It's right
top,
up there.
It's a top five for me.
Don, what happened 40 years ago today?
One of the most significant moments in television history for me and my family.
Talk to me about it.
My dad's favorite television show was MASH, and it was a major part of our lives. My father watched it all the time. I still watch it. Love it. And it's hard to believe that the MASH finale, that still is among Super Bowls, is the most watched television show in history, happened on this date in 1983, 40 years ago
And how many people
today.
Watched that game?
It was a show, not a game.
I mean, how many people watched that show?
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
Well, I think it was about 50 million.
About 50 million. And isn't it amazing that as great as that show was, for an entire generation my age, the second we heard, we just immediately turned the channel.
Well, that was your problem. That's a new issue.
By the way, I'm not saying we were right. I think we were too young to understand the show. So when you heard the music, you're like, what is this depressing war show? I'm turning this off. We didn't understand it was like a dark comedy. We didn't get it.
Alan Alda actually tweeted out today. He said, I can't believe it's been 40 years, and like it was a broken heart.
Oh, and you remember,
it is crazy.
And you remember how Don feels about Alan Alda.
He's the only center stage he deemed worthy of going.
There's
to.
A you drop
be
for
like
that,
Alan
too.
Alda? Yeah. Now, the show itself was not great. It's not a great finale.
Oh, awful.
All right?
Really?
Two hours. It was painful. It was really painful. However, you get emotional when Hawkeye goes up in the helicopter and BJ spells out goodbye in the rocks, you kind of lose it.
Also, when he goes up in the helicopter, you can't help but think about Henry Blake.
That's right, which is another time that I cry like a baby when that's ever on. Now, MASH was significant.
Falcons released Marcus Mariota. Another option for the Jets.
Well, so what happens to that Netflix program?
What do you mean?
Well, he was going to be, right, one of the quarterbacks featured on the Netflix show, right, Peter?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is right.
Yeah, but no, that's
it's done.
Previous season.
It's done.
Yeah, but it's going to hit different now that he's, like, released.
It's different. Let's go to Brian in Parsippany. Brian.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here. So it's been a while since I last called you guys. I'm normally the one that busts Mel Kiper's chops, who, by the way, has a massive head. And whenever people are talking about Michael's head, I always think about Mel Kiper and compare this.
No, Kiper's got a big head. There's no question.
Okay, good.
We also have the same receding hairline, so that's
you know what? You guys are similar.
Yeah. I think I'm a little better looking than Mel.
Really?
I'm only right about stuff. Anyway, the reason I was calling is because you guys were talking about Daniel Jones getting paid, and that might set Saquon to free agency. Can you imagine if the Eagles could free up enough cash to put Saquon Barkley on that team? They didn't have a running back all year and went to the Super Bowl.
No, they only had a running back when they played against the Giants.
Yeah, right.
When Boston Scott becomes, you know.
Oh, my dear God. Whoever was running the ball was running free in that playoff game. But I don't think they would go nuts, though. Like, good teams don't pay quarterbacks that much money.
Even running backs.
I mean, running backs, that kind of money. So I don't know. When you say free up the cap space, would they want to set the precedent and give this guy $15, $16 million? I don't know if Philadelphia would do that.
Let's go to Rob in the Bronx. Rob.
Hi, Rob.
Here we go.
Hello, Rob.
He's ready.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I'm commenting about that JetBlue flight that you took.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if your wife had picked the Blue Fare, she could have paid like $30 more, and you could have had a carry-on. Yeah. And instead of going to the counter and wasting that $85, you would have just paid $30, and you could have had a carry-on bag.
Yeah, Jody messed up.
No way around it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something right now. That Mint service that you guys got going to California, whew, man.
So I got to tell you a quick story. So I went to Florida while they were already down there.
Sure.
And I didn't know that this was the ticket that she booked. But since I was traveling alone, I wanted to buy the extra room, you know, for the feet.
Right.
For the legs. And so it was $80. So I said, sure. So I didn't know that was the only way I was going to have my carry-on. But it turned out that way. And so the lady behind the counter is there, and she's very official. And there's a guy waiting at the next line, and he recognized me. He said, "You Michael Kay?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Can I take a picture?" So he takes a picture with me. Now all of a sudden the lady behind the counter gets interested. And she says to me, "Well, who are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm the Yankee announcer." She goes, "I'm a Yankee fan." I said, "Oh, great." And she says, "Can I get free tickets?"
Oh, my God.
And I said, "Can I get a free upgrade? Give me my $80 back." She goes, "Well, I don't own the company." I said, "Yeah, I don't own the Yankees." And I walked away.
No.
Wait.
Wow.
That's money. And besides, how big a Yankee fan could she be if she doesn't recognize you?
Yeah, come on.
You only called like 90% of the games.
You're the
for
logo.
God's sakes.
I'm the top hat logo,
And I don't want it to be too misunderstood, but I just didn't like the fact I'm flying from Vancouver and it was no like upgrade other than some room in front. They didn't offer anything like special flying across North America.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Let's go to Rob. Let's go all the way out to Denver. What's up?
What's up?
Hello, guys. I just want to preface this call by saying I've been listening for a long time. I can't claim 1947, but sometime in the 50s equivalent.
Okay.
I love all three of you guys. I just really wanted to preface it by saying this. But I know you guys do a lot of performative stuff, but I got to ask Peter, aren't you the least bit worried that you're driving Michael Kay into retirement, like in all seriousness?
By what? Go ahead. Example.
Well, no, and believe me, you had me cracking up even the last segment, with like the way you closed the show. I missed yesterday's close, so I didn't get to hear it, but it was pretty funny. But all these little shots that you're taking at Michael, and, you know, I know he could take it, but it's stripping away at him. I could tell. And I would miss him if he retired. So
I would, too.
Let me answer this, Robbie, okay? I love you. I do, okay? There would be a lot of reasons why I would go, but they are pushing me out. So if I do go, blame them. It's on them.
No, you know what?
I mean, my age and my responsibilities in life.
Right.
That's children. Big. But the fact that they are pushing it and they want it.
I need
blame Don and Peter. Everybody. So when I say it's time for me to go for real, blame them.
But why do you think we're motivated to do that?
Because you want to show yourself. But I know.
Do you really think, honestly,
management would just say, okay, we'll just do, we'll have Don and Peter.
Yeah, no, they might.
No shot.
They might.
Zero.
It'll save the money.
None.
It would definitely save the money, but they, I am kind of with Don on this. And then I got news for you.
What?
Let's just lift it up and show it to everybody right here.
Yeah.
Michael decides to leave at some point, because I assume he will make a decision at some point. Don, you can only hope. He's like Aaron Rodgers.
So.
Yeah, you would think Michael will at some point emerge from his dark hole and tell us what the hell's going on. But if that decision is that he's leaving.
Okay.
And then Don and I are told, hey, we love the work you guys do. Frankly, you're two yo-yos. We don't trust you. We're bringing in blank ex-athlete. They're going to be the lead chair, and you two are going to be the sidekicks. There's a chance at that point the whole thing blows up. Let's just be honest. At that point, there's a chance everyone walks away.
But you
tell
know
me
what?
I'm
the,
wrong.
The fact that you guys continue, as Robbie said so astutely, continue to try to puncture the balloon.
No, it's not
you
that.
You guys are driving me away.
It's not that. To me, it's that if you want to be here, you want to be here with the show being what it is. You want me to start playing softball with you right now and go, oh, Michael's sensitive. Want to make sure I hope he stays. No, listen, if you're not going to be able to take it the way it is.
At my age, I prefer softball.
You know what I'm saying, Don?
I hear you.
Oh, please, I hear you. You're both vipers. That's what you are.
I'd like another topic.
I just need to know how we benefit from Michael leaving. That's what I'd like to know.
Let's go to Bob
we
in
don't.
Massachusetts.
No one
Hello,
does.
Bob.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, everybody. Long-time fan, first-time caller.
Welcome aboard.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael, high level of respect. You Yankee fans, grew up outside of New York City. Don, hockey fan, big time, Rangers, Boston. I do live in Massachusetts. I'm the one Massachusetts New York fan that they don't like. But, Bob. Peter, I'm calling for you.
Oh.
Peter,
yeah.
I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. You just kind of dismayed the Colts.
Yeah.
You're talking about a legend football team.
Yeah, you're
now,
right.
Now, I'm a huge football fan. Okay, now, I know you're a huge football fan, and I know you love the Washington Commanders. What a great history back from the Redskins to the Commanders. How can you dismiss the Colts?
Let me. You know, Bob, it's a fair question. And they're obviously, they have a history going back to maybe the greatest of all time. I understand it. There's a lot of history there. Two of the greatest of all time, let's be honest. However, to hear someone on this show bring up, for whatever reason, A, it was the tone of the guy's voice. And then when he's like, I'm a big Colts fan. As much as people can't stand me rooting for the Commanders, they tolerate hearing about it because at least there's a divisional rivalry here. There's something. The Colts here have really, there's nothing.
And I don't know how you feel about this. This is kind of a hot take.
Go ahead.
You forfeit your history once you leave the city you're in. They're not. That's not the Baltimore Colts anymore.
You
don't get to hold on to that once you leave.
So you think the Ravens are the Cleveland Browns is what you're saying?
They can't take the history of Ozzie Newsome and Jim Brown. The Ravens can't do it, especially now that the Cleveland Browns came in.
They get Newsome in a different way.
So the Tennessee Titans can talk about Warren Moon and Earl Campbell? No.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.